Blog Talk Radio.
Go live in was the old Northern Kingdom, And he grew up amongst all those people who were committing, you know, all of those acts of idolatry, worshiping any and everything, worshiping the gods of Egypt, worshiping the gods from other lands. And so this is the land that Messiah grew up in, and he knew these people very well. And so, but he is king of the Jews or king of Israel. And so he first has to come and feel about his priesthood, to straighten out his priesthood, and then the rest of Israel, and then the Gentile nation. So we're going to, you know, we're walking through his ministry now, and we're going to be doing that tonight, starting in Luke chapter 9 and 10, try to cover those tonight, and every night up until Passover, until we come to that time where, you know, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our King is killed on the cross for us. And so I pray that, you know, you follow along, that you take copious notes, that you make sure that that you're getting what you need out of these lessons, because so great is the act that our Messiah, our King, did for us, that, you know, it's not something that we could do though. So we want to thank everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk. We want to welcome those newcomers from Morocco. And there was one other new state. I forget the name of it right now. I'll mention it next time. I welcome you to the fold and then to the listening audience. As we do our statement of faith, and we have all the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, and let us go before the Most High and do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 through 29, I can do all things through Messiah, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise on today, Father. We lift you up and we magnify your name. We extol thee, O Yah Elohim, we extol thee, Father, and we lift you up, and we give you glory, honor, and praise on today, Father, and another will we not bow down to and worship, Father, but to you and to you alone, for you are our Elohim, and there is no other, Father, that we will bow down and give praise and glory to, but to you and to you alone, Father. So all this your day, we honor you, we give you honor, and we give you praise, and we give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. And Father, we are repenting from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an answer to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love for you alone. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening, pray that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Our scripture for this evening, I feel like doing 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And, of course, we will personalize this. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of them of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us away captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar, the beginning of our Sabbath. Thank you.
It's so easy to forget the victories of the past and focus on the trials of the moment. It's so easy to complain and talk about the pain and forget His goodness and His mercy. But when I look over my shoulder to see how far You brought me, it's so clear You have been faithful all along. So I will not hold back my worship, even through the raging storms. I will open up my mouth and give You praise. I remember, Your goodness. I remember, Your love. I remember, Your faithfulness. I remember, Your grace. Na na na. Stepped into my space and turned around my ugly situation. I was lost and far away, but then You came my way. How can I forget how You have saved me? But sometimes life can be so busy, that we take our eyes away from all You've done. But this boy that You have lifted out of darkness into light, oh, who never sees the testify of You. Oh, I remember, Your goodness. I never forget, oh, I no go forget
oh. How you saved my soul.
I no go forget oh.
When I came to pray.
Baba, I no go forget oh.
While I was at the market today, two young ladies walked up, and they were, you know, buying microgreens again. And I remember them buying them once before. But, you know, they were saying how they wanted to help to expand the business. Now, you know, we've been praying for some things to happen, and so they walk up and say, hey, you know, we really like your microgreens, and we want to expand what's going on there. And then it turned into a religious conversation and how we should just give, you know, thanks and glory to the Most High at all times. And so we have to understand that we have to walk in this word exactly as it is written. When Messiah went on his 40-day fast, after he was filled with the Spirit, after 40 days he was a hunger, and Satan came to tempt him, the tempter. And everything that he offered Messiah, he was able to give. He was able to deliver. But Messiah said, it is written. And so that is what we must always go by, what is written. Can never get in trouble that way. Back to Luke chapter 9, verse 3. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff, nor neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and then depart. So you live there, and you depart from there. See, really, we're not supposed to be going house to house with this gospel. We can go to a neighborhood. We can go to a community. But we find one place in that community, and we stay there for the time that we're there presenting this gospel. Now, the gospel is of the kingdom. That's what he told them to go and preach. Verse 2, he sent them to preach the kingdom of Elohim. That's what the gospel is about. And when we go through the gospel, you gotta understand that this is what the whole gospel is about. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here. It's for us to just reach out and to take hold of it. But we are to live our lives like we are already in the kingdom, already members of the kingdom, already in it, not going to be in it. In previous lessons, I've shown us that the kingdom of heaven is here already. We are in it. We're just waiting for our king to return and for things to be set correctly, but we are still supposed to be doing what we were told to do. And so in his life, how he starts this off with his disciples is to send them out with power. Not to Israel, though. Not to the lost sheep. I'm going to send you amongst those who are doing kind of okay. They're still bad, but they're doing better than the ones up north, better than the northern kingdom. So I'm going to send them to Judah and to Levi. Get rid of the demons that are within us already. Get rid of the illnesses that are within us. We just have to believe it and walk in it. So he says in verse 4, and whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and then depart. And whosoever will not receive you, this is friends, family, neighbors, spouses, whosoever will not receive you. When you go out of the city, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. If you have the truth of the word, if you have the truth of the gospel, you cannot make people accept it. You cannot make people want to have it. You cannot save anybody yourself. It is the Most High that does the saving. It is your job to offer them the kingdom. It is my job to offer the kingdom of Elohim. That's what Messiah said from the beginning. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here. It's available. You didn't always have access to it. Now it's here and you have access. Do you want it? And this is not something that we try to force on people. Because why would you try to force something that's good on someone? Here, you need to take this. I don't care what you want to do, what you think, you need to take this. People know that. But they choose otherwise. Okay? And it is, you know, you read it right here for yourself. Whosoever will not receive you. Whosoever is whosoever. Okay? And it's hard when it's loved ones. But, you know, that is just the truth of the matter. They're going to be loved ones. They're going to be strangers. They're going to be, you know, people that you really want to get it. And it's not you making them see anything. It is the Most High. If he wants them to see it, if he wants them to accept it. Okay? So if they don't get it, you're told what to do. Take off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. You've done your job. Okay? And they departed and went through the town, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now we really do need to, you know, in order to heal, healing really does require the laying on of hands, okay, the transference of the Spirit of the Most High. You can pray for somebody, and the Most High can intervene, but usually in the Scripture, this takes the laying on of hands. Put your hands on somebody, you pray over them, and really and truly what's happening is you are taking the disease. You're intervening, and you're taking the disease, and the Most High heals you. But they have to believe that they are able to be healed. And so it comes on you and then it leaves you. You take it from them. Okay. So he tells them to go and heal people. And they departed and went through towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod, again, here's his name. This is Philip. Okay. And this is the one in Galilee in the northern kingdom. He is the one that John deals with a lot, and John does a lot of his ministry in the northern kingdom, in Galilee. Messiah does a lot of his ministry in the northern kingdom, in Galilee. It's just not the land of Samaria. It is Galilee of the nations, or the northern part of the northern kingdom. And this particular Herod, Philip, is over that, and he's the one that's married to Herodias, his brother's sister, and he's the one that is infatuated with his stepdaughter and has her to dance for him, and, you know, she's dancing for him in a suggestive way, and he likes it, and he tells her, hey, if you dance for me, then I'll give you whatever your heart's desire, and she wants John, her mother really wants John the Baptist's head. And so she's going to use that to get John beheaded. Okay, so this is the Herod we are dealing with. This is one of Herod the Great's sons. This is Herod who had the children 2 years old and under killed when Messiah was in Bethlehem, when Messiah left to go to Egypt. Then he died, and his sons took over in 4 B.C., so he actually died kind of that same year or was within a year. Okay, so this is one of his sons. And his name is Philip. But they're just calling him Herod here. But once you know that these are different people, then based upon the story and based upon where those Herod ruled at their territory, then you know which one the Scripture is talking about. But to leave it just as it's written, then, you know, for a long time, I thought it was the same man. But it's really not. It's a different Herod. It's one of his sons, when it happens to be Philip. And he's married to his brother's wife, Herodias. Okay, which it wasn't legal because his brother, reason why it wasn't legal for him to marry his brother's wife is because his brother was still alive when he married his wife. They may have gotten divorced, for whatever the reason, But he married her, and it was that's illegal. Okay. And so John came against that. And, you know, came against it hard. And Herodias didn't like it at all. You know, I wish you'll keep your mouth off of us. But John was on them hard about, you know, being in this felonious marriage that wasn't sanctioned by the Most High. Okay. So, now Herod the Tetrarch. Tetrarch was the leader of a province in Israel. Heard all that was done by him. And he was perplexed. Now this Herod is perplexed. Why is he perplexed? And this is how I noticed this Philip. Because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. And of some that Elias had appeared. And of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded. So this is the one that beheaded John, Philip. He said, I beheaded him. So who is this guy that, you know, that's going around? But who is it? Who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. Now, him desiring to see him could have been out of curiosity, could have been for a bad thing. Okay? No good intent. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethesda. So he went to a remote place in the city. You know, everybody don't go there. And he took his disciples there in Bethesda. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God. That is the gospel. And so what we will be doing is focusing our study after this lesson on the kingdom. Because Messiah gives all kinds of examples of the kingdom of Elohim. And when we are telling people, when we're selling this to people, we got to sell them the kingdom. They got to want the kingdom, but they got to want the king of the kingdom more than they want themselves. Of the kingdom of Elohim, and heal them that had need of being healed. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and the country around about, because where they're at, there's really nothing to what? To eat. And lodge and get victuals, get food. For we are here in this desert place. But he said unto them, give them to eat. Now, we know that the disciples' faith level is about sin. You say it's sin, sin, sin. They really don't have a whole lot of faith, even though they've been given power and authority, and they've been casting out demons. But there's things that they just don't believe that they can do. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fish, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men, and said to his disciples, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50 in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set them before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. Now 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000 people. This is stuff that is multiplying within the basket. As somebody takes something, something else appears. They don't see it, but that's what's going on. Okay, and so today, you know, it would be hard to believe that we're able to do those things, but he said we are able to do them. We really just need to believe it, not walk in doubt of it. And there really needs to be a need, not to show off or to, you know, to say that we have power or what have you. But this is, you know, for the the drawing of the masses and to fit the need. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up a fragment that remained to them, 12 baskets. So that's one basket for each disciple. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, whom say you, whom say the people that I am? Who are they saying that I am? Who do they believe that I am? You know, because even out here in, you know, in society, people are going to believe what they want to believe. And so he's saying, hey, who do you hear them saying they think that I am? They answered that John the Baptist. John the Baptist been beheaded, long dead, but some people still believe that it's John the Baptist. But some say Elias. They knew the prophecies that Elias was supposed to come back. And others say the one of the old prophets is risen again. Somebody that came back from the dead. He said unto them, but whom say you that I am? This is who they think I am. Who do you think I am? Peter answered, said, the Christ of God, or the Christ of Elohim. Now, again, the Christ. That is a title. Okay? Not a last name. It's a title. And they will tell you that that title means anointed. The anointed of Elohim. But that title really means the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. That's Christ. The power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. So there's more than one Christ in the scriptures. We have a rock in Torah that is called Christ. And people want to make it the man Christ. That he was there in the wilderness with them. But it wasn't him. It was a rock, literally. A flint stone, a flint rock that you strike it and fire come out of it. But in fact, when Moses struck the rock, water came out instead of fire. And that rock followed them around. Followed them for a long time in the wilderness. And he called that rock Christ. Because that rock saved his people. It was the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation to save his people. And so that's what that title stands for. And so Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, wears this title, the Christ. Now, Israel was supposed to know what the Christ meant and who was coming to fulfill that role. The Most High told Israel the whole time through Isaiah, I'm the only Savior you ever going to know. I'm the only Redeemer. I'm your Maker. Besides me, there is no other Elohim. I don't know one, and you can't know one. There's only me, and I'm doing it all. And so Israel was supposed to know when their king came. They were supposed to know when John introduced him. Behold, the Lamb of Elohim. They were supposed to be able to tie that to the book of Isaiah and know that John was saying, hey, here is your Elohim in the flesh. Because that's what Isaiah said that John, who John would announce. Behold, Israel, your Elohim. He's here in the flesh. So who should they have been saying that he is? That he is Elohim. Coming to visit them. Coming to see about them. Coming to save them. So when Peter says the Christ of Elohim, and he straightly charged them. Now look what Messiah said. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. Don't tell nobody that I'm the Christ. Don't tell them that. because I want Israel, I want to judge Israel, just like he wanted to judge Egypt. When he told Moses, I'm going to send you down there to bring my people Israel out of Egypt, that I might judge Egypt. I want to judge them. And I don't want them to hear the truth, because I have been piping the truth to them for millennia, and they refuse to hear it. And at this time, most of Israel is refusing to hear. So when we read in Matthew chapter 13, I believe, he says, hey, they ask him, boss, master, teacher, why are you talking to them in parables? Why don't you just say clearly and plainly to them what you want them to hear, what you want them to know? He says, I don't want them to know. I don't want them to understand. I don't want the everyday person to understand. Only those that I choose do I want to understand. And so if you understand the gospel, if you truly understand the gospel, consider yourself to be blessed. Because this is not given to everybody to understand. I don't care how you teach it. I don't care how you tell it. As the Most High told me, you cannot make them see what I don't want them to see. I don't care how you teach it. I don't care how you say it. I don't care what scriptures you show them. If I don't give them the understanding, if I don't open their eyes, they will not understand. So he tells them, don't tell nobody. Don't tell the Pharaohs. Don't tell the Sadducees. Don't tell the scribes. Don't tell the king. Don't tell the masses who I am. I'll reveal who I am to those that I want to know who I am. So there's a lot of people running around thinking that they have understanding. And they have a certain level of understanding, but not truth. It is not given to everyone. Okay, so it could tell no man that thing. Saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders. Messiah already knew who was going to reject him. The elders were in charge of the people. And so we got to understand why he's saying this, because it's important. The elders were always in charge of the people. The priesthood was in charge of the temple, not the people. And if the elders couldn't handle the people, they went to the priesthood for the interpretation of the law. How do we apply this law in this situation? But it was the elders who were carrying out the law and enforcing the law and teaching the law to the people. So he says, I'm going to be rejected of the elders. I'm going to be rejected of the chief priests. It's going to be mostly the entire priesthood. There are going to be a few who are going to convert. But the vast majority of them are going to reject him. And the scribes, the teachers of the law. Because these would have been of the elders as well, but their specific duty was to record and to teach. The scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. Now he's giving them everything he's supposed to go through. And somehow, no matter how many times he tells them this, and you can read it more than one time in the script, he tells them, and he tells them in a different way, that they just don't get it. They don't want to accept it. Because they are appointed to do what they're going to do and run and be scattered. And they have to, you know, be put through the fire. Just like each one of us has to be put through the fire. So Messiah tells them, this is exactly the deal. The priests are going to reject me. The elders are going to reject me. The teachers are going to reject me. And I'm going to be killed. and I'm going to be raised the third day. They didn't really want to hear that. Didn't want to take that in. We today, hindsight, I think if Messiah was here today and he was speaking this stuff to us, we might be like a lot of them. We don't want you to go through it, but we may not be 100% committed like they were. They weren't 100% committed. It's hindsight, and it's the will of the Most High that we should have insight into what Messiah did and what he was doing, his very purpose for coming on the earth. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now we know in Luke chapter 13, I believe, don't quote me on that, it might be 14, somewhere in there, he tells us, we can't even love ourselves more than we love him. We can't love nobody else, husband, wife, mother, father, children, not even our own selves more than we love him. A lot of people aren't going to go there. A lot of people ain't going there, haven't gone there. But this is what he calls for. That's why I said anything that the Most High really wants from us is never symbolic. It is spelled straight out. His statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments, they are straightforward. Anything that he wants from us is straightforward. It is written, and it's straightforward. It's not symbolic. Oh, he kind of means love him like that? No. It means exactly like that. So he wants us to give him our all, always. Deny ourselves. Kingdom first, always. And take up his cross daily and follow me. That wasn't just in those times. This applies today to every man and woman who come up under the blood. It's not a free pass. It's not a free ride. Oh, you know, I believe that you died for my sins, and I want to live for you. Do you really? They said you have to deny yourself. But that means also you got to deny your loved ones. You got to deny your friends. You got to deny your mother, your father. Anything that would take you away from this gospel of the kingdom and spreading the gospel of the kingdom. You got to deny it. And take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, you know, when Messiah took up his cross, he was on his way to Golgotha, the hill of the skull, the place where he's going to be crucified and killed. You got to live your life that way. And for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for his sake, not for your own sake. You don't want to lose your life because you claim to be a Hebrew Israelite, or you claim to be a Christian, or you claim to be a believer, or you claim something else. If you're going to lose your life, it better be because of him, for his sake, or for the word's sake. The same shall save it. For what is a man advantage? What do you gain? What advantage do you have if he gained the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? That's why I tell, you know, say it all the time, none of this, nothing else really matters. Don't matter how much prophecy you know. It don't matter how much word you know if you're not doing the word. If you're not keeping it, what advantage do you have to say that you're a Hebrew Israelite? To say you're part of the chosen. What advantage do you have if you're not going to do what he said to do. You have no advantage at all. You're really at a disadvantage. Because what's going to end up happening, you're going to lose yourself or be cast away. It's real simple in this word. Love me more than you love yourself. Love the things that I love more than you love the things that you love. Walk after me. Follow me. Do what I do. So he's giving this, we're going to be his disciples. He's not just talking to the 12. He's talking to you and me as well. You're going to follow after him. Then you got to do these things. So he's teaching them in what way to go. Okay? And don't tell nobody, you know, just like, I don't know how many different types of lessons I've tried to teach people that Jesus, Yeshua, is God himself, is Elohim himself. Very few people get it. And a lot of people will run at that message because I see two or I see three. And why does he speak this way? He speaks that way because that's the way he wants it presented. He wants us to give glory to the Son and then to the Father. In this age, what the Most High is doing as the Son. Give him glory and honor and praise for everything that he has done for us and went through for us. And be able to teach it to people. This is what he did. And this is why he did it. And have them to come with the correct expectation. Not their own, because the expectation that he gives them is different than what I'm going to say everyday Christendom gives to its saints. It's a different expectation. You know, no accountability. Don't have to worry about your walk. If you trip and fall, just say, I'm sorry, get up and keep moving. Most times it depends on how you trip. See that big branch there? And try to step over it, knowing that you couldn't step over it. You knew you were about to do wrong, and you decided to do it anyway? Or did you honestly think you could make that leap, and you failed? Big difference in why. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words. That's a tough one. Because, you know, people can say anything, but it's really how do we live? Do we really live by his word? Do we walk in them? Or are we really ashamed of them because, hey, that ain't what the world is doing. The world is doing this. The world believes this. And if I act this way, if I talk this way, they gonna think I'm crazy. Are you ashamed? Or do you just let them think you're crazy because, you know what, the real crazy one is them? Do you believe that? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Listen, once we all together, I'm going to say I'm ashamed of you. You told everybody that you were ashamed of me by your actions. You know, there are some people out there that will just straight up talk smack about Messiah. And then there are people who, you know, you don't have to worry about them. You know what their destiny is. You know what their destination is. What their end is. You know what it is. But for those who pretend to say one thing and do another, that's the ones I'm afraid of. Because the Most High gonna come back and say, I know you said all these things in my name. I know you went around laying hands on people and praying for people. But it was really so you could get the glory. And I never knew you. You never knew me. Your motivation was wrong. So he says, when I get in front of everybody, when we get everybody together, then I'm going to be the one that's ashamed of you. And who I'm ashamed of, that ain't going to be pretty. Because if I'm ashamed of you, it meant that you didn't want me to rule over you. It meant that you didn't want me to be in control of you. And you thought you could do it yourself. And so you don't want me to rule over you. And all those that didn't want me to rule over them, bring them here in front of me and the angels. Kill them right in front of me. Now he tells his disciples all these things. Somehow we lose track of this. I'm the king, and you know what I want to set straight with us on this evening is there's a difference between a king and a president. And there's a difference between the Most High King and all other kings. And a king is sovereign. In his realm, there is nobody higher than him. Nobody you can appeal beyond. So Messiah is telling them, I'm going to be ashamed of you. In other places, he tells us what that shame consists of. You didn't want me to be your king. You didn't want me to be your savior. You didn't want me to be your redeemer. You wanted to take advantage of the situation, but you didn't want me. And I find that today a lot of people want the blessings, but they don't want the blesser. Want the blessings, but not the blesser. And the Most High says, hey, you don't want me, you're ashamed of me. I'm going to say I'm ashamed of you. Verse 27, but I tell you of a truth. There be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of Elohim. Now, people interpret that there are going to be some people who never see death until Messiah comes back and establishes his kingdom on the earth. Same. Because he said the kingdom was already here. They just had to receive their power in the kingdom, the Ruach HaKodesh. And a lot of them had not received that power yet to help bring forth the kingdom. We are scattered worldwide. And it's for a reason. It's not without reason. It's not just as a punishment. But it's so that, just like when the Most High took Joseph and had him taken a prisoner and a slave, to Egypt to make him second in command of Egypt eventually. We are here to set the gospel straight in the last days. But we have to have it straight. That's why I said there's no way that we, Israel, can have this book and get this wrong. If we get it wrong, guess what? To the lake we go. That's the very purpose of our scattering. And when we get this right and we start telling the world and not being ashamed of it, that you got to keep these commandments, you got to keep these laws, you got to keep these judgments, you got to keep these ordinances. We keep using the excuse. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to be part of the political system. The Most High is going to put into power whoever he wants to put into power. That still doesn't excuse any one of us from doing what he told us to do. Being involved. Having a say. Influencing politics. Influencing the system. Salting the system. Changing the flavor of the system to the flavor of the Most High. This is what Messiah is trying to show them. Because for some of y'all ain't going to see death, kingdom come, till you receive your power. Till you become a son of Elohim, a child of Elohim. Because if we're not born of the water and of the Spirit, we're none of his. We're just not. We can claim to be. It's like that child say, oh, that's my daddy. And then the mother takes the pregnancy test to find out, that ain't your daddy. You may have wanted that to be your daddy. That's not your daddy. I remember when I was a young man, this young woman named Julia, we were like the best of friends. See her, you see me. I was coming out of a first marriage and didn't want to be involved with anyone. You know, just wanted to run. And those are, you're my pizza, we're going to run. See her, you see me. Introduce her to my best friend here. You date her. So we just going to be friends. But her son wanted me to be his father. And, you know, take him fish to eggs, you know, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to be your father. Me and your mother never going to hook up that way. We're just friends. And so a lot of people are claiming the Most High as Abba. I don't see my DNA. If you were my child, you would be obedient. You would not be disobedient. And we got to know that we have to get that right. Can't be go our whole life and be disobedient children, using every excuse not to be obedient. Well, I got weak. You know, this played into it, or that played into it, whatever it is. The Most High will make it right. If it's meant to be, he will make it right and make it happen in your life. But the truth of the matter is, we usually get in the way. We want to do it ourselves. Some of these people were not going to taste death, were not going to see death, till they saw the kingdom of Elohim. It was Messiah told them, it's here. It don't come by observation. You're not going to see something happen. That's why Peter had to be given a sign. When the Gentiles were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. How did he know? Did they start cutting flips, rolling around on the ground? What did they do to let him know that, oh, wait a minute, the Most High has accepted them just like he accepted us? The same thing that we did, we saw them doing. It was a sign. If there's nothing in that, you ain't going to see it coming. Like the wind. You don't see it come from what direction. You don't see it go where it's going. You feel it, but you don't see it. And so he says, that is the way the kingdom is. This is how they were going to be. And it came to pass about 8 days after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, in fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. So now they got Peter and John and James, they get confirmation. Well, you ain't Moses. We see Moses. You ain't Elias. We see Elias. It's somebody different. And he's talking with them. So the Most High can raise whoever he wants to raise whenever he wants to raise them. If he wants to send them back, he can send them back. Nah, you didn't quite get done what I needed you to get done the first time here. Go back. So this thing called resurrection, or this thing called reincarnation, it's in the scripture. We don't like to think about it a lot of times. Okay, and so who's to say how many times you've been here? If that ever happened. Is this the only time you were ever here? Don't know. Most I know. Maybe he revealed it to you. But that's not to go around saying, hey, you know, you get all these different chances. But it is in the scripture. Okay? That's why I said, who do they say that I am? Oh, you are Elias. Some think you're John the Baptist. Some think you're some old prophet that then came back to life. They believe in reincarnation too. And so, maybe you get a chance to come back and try to get it right. Maybe you don't. The thing is while you're here now, now is the time to get it right. Now is the time to make sure that you are walking according, because you don't know whether you're going to get another try or not. It says that it is once appointed a man to die and then the judgment. But we can see in the scripture some came back. Most did not come back. It's like everybody wanted to be judged like David. You got to have the heart of David to be judged like David. And we take a big chance if we think, oh, well, the Most High didn't charge David with this sin, he won't charge me. That's not what we see in the scripture. 9 out of 10 times, the Most High said you were guilty, you got charged, you died. You got punished. And there's a few exceptions where it doesn't happen. We want to be the exception to the rule rather than the rule. The Messiah has given it to them. And he's showing them so that they might believe. I am the one that's sent. Here's Moses. Here's Elijah. But this also represents something else. Moses represents the law. Elias, the prophet. To the law and the prophet. If they don't tell you the truth like this, it is not in them. So this is a handoff. This was the law. Moses said another prophet is going to be sent like you. And here's the prophet. All the ones that prophesied about the Most High coming, the Messiah coming. Now, listen to this one. Here's the handoff from the law and the prophet to Messiah. Hear him. Hear ye him. Hear what he has to say. He's going to come and set this thing in order. He's not changing everything. He's going to set that which is crooked straight. So he's not changing everything. All the laws weren't done away with. Most I didn't sit down and say, oh, you know what? That old law that I gave y'all, that wasn't no good. It was flawed. It had parts in it that I need to redo the whole thing. Never did any such thing like that. That is a Christian mindset. Okay? We never did that. He said, I'm going to modify those laws that I need to modify to bring about my will. The rest of those laws stay in effect. They are good. They were weak because of your flesh. Not because of the law, because of your flesh. They were weak. I'm not getting rid of them because your flesh is weak. There was nothing wrong with them. They were weak by your flesh because you let the flesh overrule the law. So he shows Moses representing the law and Elias representing the prophet. So the law and the prophet. If they do not speak according to this word, these words, the truth is not in them. So listen to this one. Who appeared in glory and spake of his deceit, which he should accomplish. Who appeared in glory and spake of his deceit, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Go figure. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Yeshua, Master, is it good for us to be here? It is good for us to be here. Let us make thee three tabernacles. Now he's placing Moses and Elias equal with Messiah. So he really don't have no understanding. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Not knowing what he said. And this is the carnal mind speaking. He don't know that one greater than Moses. He don't know that one greater than Elias. He don't know that the very one that Moses and Elias report to is Yeshua. It's Jesus. Dude, this is the boss. And you want to make these two men equal to him? Not knowing what he said. A lot of people still do that today. And they want to take the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and try to split it up into three separate beings. But say that they are equal. They are only equal because they are the same being. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. One in the same. They are equal because they are one in the same. Not just one in thought, one in spirit, one in mind. They have the same purpose. They agree in everything. They agree in everything because it's the same one spirit by one spirit. So Peter is saying, hey, it's good that we're here. Shouldn't I build three tabernacles so that we can worship? You build a tabernacle to worship. So we can worship you, Moses, and Elias. And the only one they ever were supposed to worship was the Most High. Verse 34. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Don't listen to Moses now. Don't listen to Elias. He's going to tell you. He's going to give you the ultimate of the law and the prophets. He's going to give you what they really mean. He's going to correct it. Hear him. Hear what he's going to tell you. And when the voice was passed, Yeshua was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him. Now, one of the things I wanted to discuss real brief on tonight, because in Torah, you never hear about people being possessed. You never hear about evil spirits taking over people. But I believe that that whole time, what was going on was that. And Satan, through deception, as he gained power, possessed more and more people. So at the time when Messiah came into the world, he needed to point this out. Hey, these people are possessed. There's another being inside of them, controlling them, affecting what they say, affecting what they do. Now, what amazes me is this, is that people will believe that, but have a hard time believing in the Most High, filling them with His Spirit. Real easy for people to accept that, hey, they can be possessed by something evil. And it seems very hard for them to believe that they can be possessed by the Most High. And that, I don't understand. I really don't get that. But that has been my experience. You know, people will practice, you know, let's do spiritual warfare. And let's do this and let's do that. They believe that people can be filled by evil spirits, but then when it comes to being filled by the Spirit of the Most High, not really believe that. And not really understand it, that without being filled by the Spirit of the Most High, you're none of His. You're not His child. You're a child. You're a human being, but you don't belong to Him. Just like He told Israel, whenever I cut you off, you don't belong to me. I'm not your God, and you're not my people. We don't seem to want to accept that. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'll do better. I cut you off. You don't belong to me. You're not my child. I'm not your God. We don't want to accept that. And we think that we can, you know, we can just try to come back and do good and do better and make it all better. That's if he takes us back. That's if he takes us back. But the truth of the matter is, that rarely happens. You know, we got to be truly, 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 truly sorry and repentant for him to take us back. Usually it's a one-way road. And usually the Most High will say, hey, you were evil the whole time. And then you change, I'll take you. But He does say, hey, if you ever knew how good He was, and then you went evil because you wanted to be evil, He said, it's impossible for you to come back. You can't repent of that. That it's impossible. Those aren't the words of Brother Miles. It's His words. It's impossible. The taste of His goodness, and then throw it away and then try to come back. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly cries out, and it tears him that he falls again, and bruising him back hardly, departed from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. We see a lot of that today. Why do we see that? It's a lack of faith. I remember when I was in the Pentecostal church, and I was a deacon at the time in the Pentecostal church, and there was this woman who we all knew was possessed. And I had told her from the beginning, I said, this woman's got a spirit on her. But they didn't really believe it. And then they saw her do some things, and they got afraid of her. I said, why are you afraid of her? I said, we're not supposed to be afraid of anything evil or wicked. But they were afraid of her, and it was a lack of faith. They were afraid that she was going to do something to them. I'm like, bring it on. Because who I serve is, you know, ain't nobody greater than Him. So it came to light that, you know, she had a familiar spirit, okay? She was speaking in tongues, but she wasn't really speaking in tongues. And she was possessed. She left the church, before she could really be dealt with, because she was there for a reason to deceive people. But because of their fear, they weren't ready to deal with her. And this is the problem with Messiah's disciples, their lack of faith. They don't believe 100% that they have this power. Now, they have been, we read earlier, he gave them power over demons and over devils and gave them the power to heal. But they can't do it with this little boy. Okay. Now, this man also has a problem. The boy's father. Because the disciples, he believed enough to bring his child to the disciples. They couldn't do anything. He starts doubting. And he starts having a faith issue. And I besought thy disciples to cast them out. And they could not. Verse 41. And Yeshua answered, said, O faithless and perverse generation. He's talking to his disciples. How long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son here. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Yeshua rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Now, in another place, you read this story. The real issue was this young boy's father and his lack of faith. And he asked Messiah, he said, help thou, I believed enough to bring my child here to your disciples. Now, I don't believe that because they couldn't heal him, I don't believe that you could heal him. Help thou my unbelief. And a lot of us need to get down on our knees and ask the Most High that. Help my unbelief. Where I doubt at, help me. Help me to believe 1,000% that you're going to do what I know you're able to do, what I ask of you to do. One thing we got to realize, though, if the Most High says no, the answer is no. Because remember, thy will be done, not my will be done. I think a lot of times we forget that. Thy will be done, not my will. I have to make sure when I'm praying, what I'm asking for is within his will. That is what he wants done, that I might do it, that I might ask for it, that he do it. So Messiah heals this little boy and gives him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of Elohim. But while they wondered everyone at all the things which Messiah did, which Yeshua did, he said unto his disciples, he didn't say this to the masses, let these things sink down in your ears. Let this sink into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. He knew that he was telling them this, and he knew they didn't believe it. I need this to sink into your ears. I need it to sink into your mind. I need you to believe this. But they understood not this thing. How much clearer does he have to say it? And see, this is a lot of what we have going on today. In the churches, in the camps, in people in general. You know, we read the word of the Most High, we hear what the Most High says, and then we don't see people doing it. And we wonder. And it's what we wonder. Shouldn't be wondering about the Most High. But it's these individuals. They just don't get it. They don't let it sink into their ears. They don't let it sink into their mind. They would rather stay with the tradition of men. They would rather stay with science, politics, something that their elder told them that was partially true, because it was comfortable, and we want to stay where we're comfortable at. And that's what his disciples wanted to do. They wanted to stay where they were comfortable. We don't want you to die. We want you to take the throne. We want you to deliver us from the Romans. We love all these magical powers you have, and we love the power of the Most High. But really what they were wanting was him to take the throne, to remove them from the Romans, to remove the Romans from them, to reestablish the nation of Israel. That's what they wanted the whole time. But they understood not this thing, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that thing. Why did they, you know, they don't understand it, but they feared to ask him, what do you mean? But he then told them twice now in this chapter, this is what's going to happen to him. And then he says, I really need for you to hear this. I need you to let this sink in your ears, and they still don't understand. And Yeshua, perceiving the thoughts of their heart, took a child and set him by him. And he said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For the least among you all, the same shall be great. You know, we sit around here looking for titles, looking for authority, looking for whatever. He's saying, but the least among you shall be the greatest. The pastor has to be the servant of the people, not the other way around. And a lot of people want to be served by other people. They want to be in charge, large and in charge, but this is not what this kingdom is about. It's a kingdom of priests. And I shall make you a kingdom, a nation of priests, servants. So we want to be large and in charge. So he uses a child. Now the child has no authority, has no power. But he's saying the child is, as far as authority and power goes, the least among you. But when it comes to the kingdom, he's going to be the greatest among you. Because the child's going to obey without questioning. Until they turn a teenager, then they question everything. They know it all. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him. Now this is, you see this going on all the time. The Most High didn't just deal with one person. And he's dealing with other people. And they may not be doing it exactly the way that you're doing it. But they're believing in the Most High. And this is what John is saying. Hey, we saw somebody, Master, casting out devils in your name. And we forbade him. We stopped him because he followed not with us. And Yeshua said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass. And so we got to understand that say birds of a feather will flock together, or birds of the same flock will run the same block, or something to that effect. We got to understand that we are together for a reason. And that reason is we are of the same, we're the same type of cell. We're the same part of the body. a lot of the times in the body, different parts of the body have different needs. Your toenails don't need the same things your eyeballs need. Your hands don't need the same things that your heart needs. Different parts of the body, same body. And so they may be doing things a little bit different than you're doing it. They may be saying it a little bit different than you're saying it. And you have to be able to hear what they're saying to know if it's truth or not. But the truth of the matter is, if they're doing the same thing that you were told to do, but they're not running with you, you're saying, hey, don't say that they're not with you. If they're not, for he that is not against you is with you. You just got to make sure that what you're seeing is truth. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I got to face this thing. So we're going to stop right here. I got to go to Jerusalem. And we're going to finish this, well, we'll finish this tomorrow morning. And then we will get into chapter 10. And in 10, we're going to see that everywhere that he was supposed to go, every city that he himself was supposed to go and witness in, he sent people before him, gave them the same authority gave the disciples. Here, don't take no money with you. Don't take no payment. Don't take two coats. If they won't receive you, take the dust off your feet. But go every place that I tell you that I'm going to go. And this is how the woman at the well learned the gospel. By one of these or two of these 70 that Messiah is going to send out. And so we'll read on that in the morning. Because we as his people, we have to be willing to do the work. We have to do it the way that he said do it. And if the words come out of your mouth, just make sure it's the Most High that's speaking. Move yourself out of the way and let him speak. Then you don't have to be ashamed of what's said. And let him speak. Let his way and his will be done through you. Because this is what he's called us to. Didn't call us to sit on our hands. Didn't call us to, you know, just meet on the Sabbath day and do whatever. But we are called to make a difference, to be an influence. And if they will not hear, just consider this. I'll say this and I'll be done for tonight. Consider what you have so valuable. If you try to give it to somebody that don't know how valuable what you have is, and you're trying to give it to them, and they don't want it. He says, you don't try to take something that you have. I bet you if you had $1 million and you stole them $1 million, if somebody believed that it was $1 million, they'd take it right off your hands. Quick, like, and in a hurry. But if they didn't realize it was $1 million or they thought you were playing, they might reject it. He says, this gospel that you have is so important. The truth that you have is so important that you don't try to force it on people. You offer it to them. And if they are unfoolish enough to reject it, you let them reject it. You missed. But you did your job. And you got to know that what you have is that important. That you're not going to, you don't have to force this on somebody. Hey, I'm trying to give you life and you don't want it? That's their choice. You know, nobody wants to see somebody die, and nobody wants to see somebody lose their eternity, but that is the most you can do with anybody. Don't care who it is. Some of them will despise you if you try to force it on them. So you offer it to them once. If they reject it, take the dust off your feet. That's how important what you have is. And, you know, you'll be told that that's not Christian life. They are lying to you, because this is what Messiah said to do. So, are you going to follow him, or are you going to follow them? That is your question. And that's what you have to answer for yourself. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. Oh, we won't be doing this tomorrow morning. I said tomorrow morning. Tomorrow evening. Tomorrow morning, there won't be a lesson. Let me straighten that out right now. Tomorrow evening, we'll pick this up where we left off. Verse 52. Messiah turning his eyesight toward Jerusalem. Go do what he's already told his disciples he's going to do. Okay, and then we'll start breaking down these different elements of him going to Jerusalem, because they fulfill scripture, they fulfill prophecy, they fulfill, how to say this, if you look at the feast days of the Most High and you look at the ceremonies and everything that he has for us to do, everything that Messiah does fulfills those very acts. So even in his being killed, it's done according to the ritual of atonement. But you got to understand atonement to even see it. The scapegoat and the lamb that is slain, that was selected by the Most High to be slain. It's all in there. The priesthood was practicing it, or supposed to be practicing it, every time that they did atonement, or every time that they did a sacrifice. That's why I said we don't really understand atonement, because I heard too many people using the Day of Atonement as, like, you know, well, this is my day to get well with the Most High. This is my day for my sins to be forgiven. No, that's not how that works. It's not how it was to be used. But I heard people using it that way. You know, this is my atonement. No, if your sins weren't already up under the blood, they ain't coming up under the blood. They weren't eligible for the blood. And we know why now, because either they were ignorant or they were willful. And so atonement didn't work for everybody. But not understanding atonement, we have people misusing it even today. Even trying to use the Day of Atonement to, like, replace Messiah. And I'm like, what's going on here? That's a spiritual wrong. Okay. And it's setting up a hope in people that is not according to the scripture. So, that being said, we will look at these different elements working up to the Day of Atonement, okay, and working up to the Passover, so that we have an understanding of how the Most High did this and what he was doing. So may the Most High bless you and keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And I will see everybody on tomorrow evening, and we will finish this lesson up. Shalom. And let me play the song here. All right.